We'd like to greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name. I am very happy to be back home again. We want to thank you for your prayers, for safe travels, and especially I want to thank those that have given me birthday wishes and birthday songs. I was blessed by that. It kind of made my day just special. So thank you. And my prayer is that as we go through life, that we might be faithful. I was blessed to be able to see the Rockies, the greatness of God. It was awesome. And I was able to reconnect with my nephews and nieces. It was good. And I was impressed. I feel that they have a good spirit and good attitudes. My one son, one nephew, he has a fencing business, and he told me, he said, he hires outside people, and he said he feels that's his mission. And he said he's not there to make a lot of money, but he's there to help people find God. And to me, I was impressed, and I could see it, and he had a relationship with his employees. He'd go out for breakfast with them, talk things over. Not saying a lot of things have changed, but he says he feels blessed being able to do that. And I think that's what all of us should realize. Our greatest mission is right where we're at. Right where we're at is our greatest mission. All right, I'm going to put on my school teacher's hat. And I would like you to tell me, what was the title of Art's message 2 weeks ago? Thankfulness. Well, that wasn't his title, but I agree. He was talking about thankfulness because that was the cure, I think. All right? It was accounts of jealousy, I think. That sound right?
The sound booth came up with something.
Yeah, I think they came up with
specifically.
Well, it was accounts of jealousy, and I thought, well, that was. But when I listened to it, the other thing is I had the advantage being in the West. In Alberta, we had 2 hours difference, and in BC, we had 3 hour difference. So I was able to listen. I was able to go to church twice. You know, it was kind of unique and kind of neat. I liked it. But anyway, so. It was brought out that thankfulness was a key factor in his message. Now, last Sunday, what was the title? I'm listening. I wasn't here, and I know what it is. What is it? Right, 40-year detour. When Clean put that out, I thought, wow, 40-year detour. That was like, that. It kind of caught my attention. And the thing that strikes me is that both these messages had a similar connection. And it was alluded here that thankfulness was Art's remedy for jealousy. And technically, thankfulness and gratitude would be the remedy that would eliminate the 40-year detour. Because these people were ungrateful, they were murmurers, they were complainers. You know, when something didn't happen, they said, well, why'd you come out here? And I was so blessed by that. Because I think God is trying to help us understand. We were visiting some people this past week, and the thought was, you know, the devil knows that when persecution comes in, it revives God's kingdom. Because the real Christians stand up. The real people that are in God are going to be persecuted. That's what's going to happen. But that stimulates people's thinking, like, wow, why'd they do that? And it actually makes the plant to grow. But I realized that when I was talking to this brother this past week, Satan knows that if he can make us full, fat, happy, you know, everything's hunky-dory, he can probably destroy us quicker, because after a while it goes to our head and we think we have something and we know what we're doing and we did this because, you know, we are somebody. And we lose our gratitude, we lose our thankfulness, and that in turn will destroy us. And we start trusting ourselves rather than our living God. Let's bow our heads. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We come to you, Father, this morning with humble hearts. We pray, Father, that you might bless this message, that your spirit would work and move among us, and that everyone here would have open hearts, and that your spirit would move in the hearts of each one here this morning. And we pray most of all that you might help us to realize how small we are and how great you are, so that we can love you and serve you and bring glory to your name. We also pray, Father, if there's any evil here, that you might cast it out. Yes, in Christ's name, amen. All right, the message that I'd like to drill on or go into, it's a question. Do you have virtue or vice in your life? Do you have virtue or vice? You know, I'm an acronym guy, and I like to kind of help us understand. We don't use that word very often, vice. And this was a last-minute thing. This morning I was going through my message, and something told me that I should use an acronym for vice, and I don't like to look at the negative, but I'm hoping it helps you understand the vice aspect. Vice is indicated by a vicious person. In other words, a person who is cruel, they're violent. Another thing that a vice person is, and that is they are, this word is a little bit longer than I'm used to. Individualist. A vice person is someone who is corrupt and they are evil. That is a vice. But I would like you to understand two factors. There's two truths in life, and that is God is real and his truth will always stand. They are facts. And the fact does not change. And I've been told by that by a doctor, but I disagree because his facts didn't work. But God is real, and God's truth will not, it will stand. Now, I would like to look at a biblical perspective of what vice is. The Bible explains to us what vice is, and I like to read this, and it's pretty straightforward. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 1, it's the biblical view of vice. I'm going to begin reading at verse 21, and I'm going to go into the first two verses of chapter 2. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, that's interesting, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image that image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working what is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. That's a long list of pretty corrupt things. And when I read over that this morning, I realized, you know, that's the world we're living in. We're living in this corrupt world. I mean, all those things, you see it abounding. But that is people who have vice. They're vicious, they're individualists, they're corrupt, they're evil. I mean, everything that they're doing is all about them. And God is out of the picture. But the thing that caught my eye, well, the thing that really concerned me, and that is because that which they knew God. These are people that knew God. They glorified not as God. I mean, they were not thankful. They were not humble. They were not honest. They were not holy. They did not live what God wanted them to live. And so this all came out of their lives. And it will destroy people. Vice is evil. Now, I would like you to realize that God has given us an option. That is, he wants us to be virtuous. He wants us to not follow this path, because this path is of the devil. This path is of evil. It's very corrupt. And so I would like to look at the biblical perspective of virtue. And I'd like to first read a chapter in Psalms. And it's Psalms 8. It's very simple. It's a small chapter. But Psalms 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy finger, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This basically is explaining God's everything. There's nothing missing here. I mean, God's in control of all things. And the sooner we have that trust or that faith in God, you know, the more God can work in our lives. And we can then have these virtues that God wants us to have. Now, to get a Bible perspective, I'd like you to turn to a virtue. I would like if you would turn to 2 Peter. All right, 2 Peter, we'd like to begin reading at verse 1, and we'll stop at 12. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you and abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. I would like you to understand. I have a little insert here that in my Bible, I have two words highlighted in verse 3 and verse 4, and that word is divine. And I'm not sure where I picked this up. It was probably when I was maybe a teenager. I'm not sure. But in verse 3 it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. And then go to verse 4. At the end it says, that these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption as in the world. And when I look at the word divine, it's Jesus. Jesus is divine. And so if we want to have divine power, if we want to have Jesus' power, if we want to have Jesus' nature, there is one thing that is a must, and that is a surrender. I'm like, and I've written down here, I have written here in my Bible, surrender highlighted. And so you think about it, Jesus' life was a life of surrender to his Father. And technically, we sang that song this morning, which it brought back some memories. Because in my lifetime, I have not always been 100% what Jesus would have wanted. So I failed sometimes, and God has forgiven me. But what I'm driving is, I want to be more like Jesus. And to have that, we need to have his divine nature in us. And to have that, it takes a surrender on our part so that God can use us and God can work in our lives. That's a little bit off the subject of virtue, but it is actually a part of it. Now, the fact that virtue is like an attitude, a disposition, character, traits. I would like to look at an acronym for virtue. And if you can bear with me, when I think of virtue, I would like someone to look up this verse, 1 Peter 5, 5 to 9. Who wants to get that? Okay, 1 Peter 5, 5 to 9. And the thing that stands out to me, if you have virtue, oh, I'm really getting good. Read the verse.
Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
It says, be vigilant. We need to be alert. We need to be awake. And if, I think I got ahead of myself a little bit, because if you read this verse, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And I want you to understand that faith is the rock. You have to have faith before you're going to have virtue. So when you have a faith, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. When we were out there in Alberta, my one nephew showed us their daughter's room, and their daughter's room had this pillow. And this pillow said, family, friends. Not sure. No, it didn't say freedom. I added that. But anyway, but family and friends are very important in our life. And I told him, I said, Kirvin, I said, you realize in God's kingdom, God wants us to major in F's. And he was like, what? I said, well, it's like this. I said, the first thing God wants us to do is he wants us to fear him, respect him, love him, you know, have a reverence for God. And if we have that proper fear and reverence to God, it's going to give us faith. And when we have faith, then our desire is then to follow. On the way here, there's a new sign on 222. I think it said, real Christians obey Jesus. And I thought, that was a good one. Because that's, real Christians will want to do what God tells them to do. And I'll tell you this, we have a lot of churches, remember that verse I said, and they believe God, but they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And there's a lot of people who are supposed to call themselves Christians, but they're not living or obeying what God wants them to do. And that just makes a real muddy water for the world to see, because this doesn't make sense. And that's why I was blessed, as I said, by my nephew, who was reaching out to people to help them see that what God wants in their life. Anyway, so we need to be vigilant. We need to be awake, alert, and watchful. Can someone turn to Acts 10, 34 to 35? Johnny, you can get that. And while I'm giving out verses, I'm going to have another one here. Luke 6, 31 and 30 to 33. All right. I think we'll go with that. Do you have that verse, John? Read it.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.
Okay. God is not, he is impartial. In other words, he has no respect of persons. And technically that's when a virtuous person is not impartial. We are to be, you know, treating everyone the same. And that is part of the characteristics of a virtuous person. All right, Luke 6, 31 to 33.
Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same.
Amen. So, I may have told you this before, but we took our three grandchildren out for a meal to a buffet, and I wanted to talk to them before school started. And also, we treated them because they helped us clean our chicken house. But there at that table, I asked them how many wanted to go back to school. And it was a negative response. Nobody wanted to go back to school, which I somewhat can understand. But I told them, I said, hey, you want to learn all you can while you can. And then I told him this. I said, I want you to remember this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because, and I said, if somebody doesn't treat you right or does something to agitate you, I said, walk away. Don't get engaged. Don't get involved. Because that's their problem. It's not yours. Don't make their problem your problem. So, you know, you want to be respectful. And you treat others the way you want to be treated. And I really think a lot of problems would go away if all of us would just live out that. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, we talked about this triangle aspect, and that is we have God, and we have others, and we have me. And it's a threefold cord, technically. And the thing is, when God told us the second commandment, the second thing, we are to love God and then other and others ourselves. It's telling, there's too many people that forget we do need to love ourselves. Okay, we do need to take care of ourselves. And that's where I think some people forget, because it's a two-way street. We need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves so that we can then love God and love others at the same time. And it's just, but it's a core factor or truth of life. All right. I did not get this one written out, or sent out. Let's all turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, because it's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. And Lee, can you read 1 to 7? Yep.
Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Amen. Amen. And I have written down the word tender. A virtuous person is tender. They're compassionate. They're loving. They're kind. So when one of the virtues that should be a part of God's children should be that tender characteristic of compassion, which is expressed in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, there's a 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. There's a verse here that I'd like to read. Verse 9, it says, for ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. In other words, Jesus was our example for being unselfish. And that's one of the virtues that God's children have. They're unselfish people. It's not about me. And it's about Jesus, actually. That's what we're here for. We're here to exemplify his life and help others see what God wants. The next one I've written down here is ethical. And can someone tell me, what does ethical mean? Okay, having integrity. And what characteristic is usually comes with integrity? Golden rule. Yeah. Anything else?
Being
The first thing that pops into my head is being honest. That's the first thing I think of when I think of a person who's ethical. They're honest. I mean, they're not going to sell you something that they know is wrong without telling you. It's, you know, I've sold enough things in my life that, you know, I usually like to try and say, hey, you know, this car has this problem. I'm just telling you that's where it's at. At least they know it. I wasn't trying to hide anything. And it's called being ethical. Now, I'd like to read a few verses here in 2 Corinthians 13, beginning of verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, that we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this is also, we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given to me for edification and not for destruction. The key there is that, you know, we need to be honest. I mean, it should be automatically come out of us. Or as I know of a couple right now who are struggling and are getting some help. And the thought was given, when something comes from the heart, it sticks, it will last. But if something comes because they're forced to do it, it's not going to last. It won't happen. I mean, if you tell somebody, you got to do this, and they do it, it's a little bit like, you know, when I was young, they talked about, you know, we misbehaved in school, and they had to sit in the corner. And basically, the one that was sitting in the corner was supposed to help them realize that it doesn't pay to do wrong. Well, if you have a very individualistic mentality, you can say, I'm in this corner, but I'm standing up inside. You know, it's rebellion is what it is. And so if it's from the heart, God can work. But your heart, you have to have a surrendered heart so God can work in your life. All right, last but not least, we have self-control. And my mind right away went to Galatians 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. I could have mentioned this before, but the verses that we read, and they would say lusts or flesh, that correlates over here. Lusts and flesh are vice because God's not in it. It's all about you. And my cry is that if a person is born again, these fruits will come out. They will show. They will just flow out. And if it's not, their relationship with God is not what it should be, and something's wrong. It has to be corrected. Otherwise, it's not going to, you know, your reflection of the kingdom is not correct. And my cry is that my heart for everyone here is that we would have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that the world can see God in us and have a desire to know his kingdom. Not us, but his kingdom. The thing that I wanted to, or question I'd like to ask you, who would you like to be with? A person who expresses vice or a person who expresses the virtues of God? Who would you like to be with? Because most people appreciate honest, humble, holy people. They appreciate people who are vigilant. Or they're looking out. They're not just looking out for themselves, they're looking out for others. So a virtuous person is not a selfish person, but a giving person. And a giving person is one of the characteristics of God's kingdom. And I think about it, you know, my wife and I have gone through, we have gone to many weddings. And I remember my wife making the comment, if every couple would just be kind to each other, there wouldn't be as many struggles or problems. Because it seems like there's some people who, they lose their focus after they get married. And it shouldn't be that way, because that's not God's plan. And I would say that's the devil's plan, because the devil's trying every way he can to destroy families. He's trying every way to destroy God's laws. You know, just the list goes on. I mean, they're trying to tell us that there's 97 genders or something like that. And it's not, because there's male and female. God has told us that. And so the word of God is true. Now, I would like to give four words that virtue has, which kind of overshadows what we've said. But from a biblical perspective, virtue has prudence. A person who has prudence is someone who has wisdom, good judgment. They basically are living out truth, which God has given them. A person who is virtuous is someone who they have justice. They're fair, they're impartial. A person who is virtuous has fortitude, and that's, they have courage, they're brave, they have strength, and they're calm. They're not all worked up. Because it's interesting, a person who is not true or honest can get real angry sometimes. I mean, they just seem like they just spout off. But if a person who is, they have their confidence and courage because this is truth. This is true. They don't have to wave their arms and fling their hands and saying, oh, no, it's got to be this way. And last, and that is their temperament. They have self-control. My prayer is that each one here would reach out and make sure that your walk with God is real. Make sure that you have the virtues that God wants you to have, because God deserves the glory. And trying to think here, this past 2 weeks, it's interesting. We've gone to different churches, and I am very thankful for what we have here, and I just pray that it'll continue, because my observation is when people forget that they are just servants and children of God, it can create a lot of trouble and stress and division and all that. So my prayer is that we would all continue to have the virtues that God wants us to have, and be honest, humble, and holy for his glory. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we again come to you this morning to thank you for truth. We thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you for the many truths that you have given us and the promises that you have given us. And we ask you might help us to latch on to these promises and these truths in a way that will become a part of our heart, so that we can live it and the world can see you in our lives. Now we pray that you might bless these truths, and we pray that it will bring forth much fruit for your glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.